Thank you for joining us at Praise Chapel Paramount. We hope you enjoyed this message from our midweek service with Peter Howell. Also, we'd love to hear what God has done in your life. To share your story, email us at info@pcparamount.org. Again, we hope you enjoy this message.
Thank you. I just want to let you guys know it's an honor to be here to share a message with you. For the sake of time, I'm just going to get right into it. Amen? Hope you guys are blessed. So if you guys are taking notes, I'm titling this message, The Point of No Return. Amen? So the meaning of the point of no return basically is this: the point beyond which one must continue on one's course of action because turning back is physically impossible, prohibitively expensive or dangerous, a particular irreversible action. But in the Air Force, the point of no return can also be calculated point during a continuous action. I'm going to read out of the Second Kings chapter 7, just wanted to get into it. So in 2 Kings chapter 7, we see that the Syrian army has besieged Samaria. Now, when you besiege a country or a city, you basically block everything going in and everything going out. So kind of like, in essence, you're suffocating that city. You're taking out all the resources so that city basically can surrender. So what we see is the Syrian army blocked off all the roads. They blocked off everything going in and out. And we see that there's chaos going on within the city. During this time, we see in Samaria, the actual town, there are basically all kinds of things going on. For 80 pieces of silver, you can buy a donkey's head. For 5 pieces of silver, you can get dove droppings. Amen? So it's pretty crazy. And it even goes on to say that women were negotiating which children they were going to eat. So I just want you guys to get a picture of what was going on within the city when they were being besieged. It's a very gruesome process what they do when you besiege a country. It takes a lot of time. And what we see is that there's basically chaos going on in the city. And I want to let you know this. When things look like they are at their worst, man's extremity is God's opportunity to magnify his own power. In Deuteronomy 32:36, it says this: "For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion for his servants when he sees that their power is gone and that there is nothing remaining, a bond slave or free." So I wanted to basically talk about the 4 lepers that were outside of the gates of the city. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3, it says this: "Now there were 4 men who were lepers at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, 'Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we also will die. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die.' So they arose at twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, that there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound, a great noise of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, 'Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us.' So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was and fled for their lives." Now, when I read this story, the first thing I think about is these 4 lepers. You know, what position they are in. They really didn't have very many options. They said that we can go into the city, but it's crazy in there. They're selling off children to eat, right? There's nothing to buy there. People are dying. If they stay in their certain situation outside of the gates, they're going to die. They're gonna starve from hunger. They're also going to die. And their only option is basically to turn themselves into the Syrian army. And they even said, "We might die, but there's a slight chance that we may live." Now, I don't know about you, but if I was one of these lepers, I know I wouldn't be running to the other side of the enemy's camp. Amen. In fact, if I was with a group of friends, I'd probably say, "All right, you go first." You know, I would probably, you know, count 1, 2, 3, and take a step back. You know, like I just think about this, like, and I want you guys to think about this too. What was in their mind when they made the decision to go into the enemy's camp? four lepers, four people that are unqualified. In fact, the Bible says in Leviticus 13:45, this is basically laws of lepers. It says, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let their hair of their head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. In verse 46, it says this, he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp. So these people were like the least of anybody in all of Jerusalem or in all of Samaria. And these people basically they were labeled as unclean. They were labeled dirty, right? And what we see in the story is God used these people to basically vindicate the city that was besieged. Now, what I want to let you guys know is that these lepers, they had to take a step forward and take another step and get closer and closer. And they had to get to a point where they can no longer look back. Now, when I think about the scripture, I always think about when I became a Christian. You know, my first year was probably the hardest year because I was from the world and there was just a lot of things that I dealt with. Mainly, I was a slave to sin and I was in a lot of bondage. So there was a lot of doubt in my mind on me actually being a Christian and me actually taking this walk and following Jesus. There was times where I didn't want to come to church. There was times where I would call the person that invited me that, no, don't come pick me up, but he would come anyways. So there was times and seasons that I went through like, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, there was times and seasons where I just wanted to throw in the towel because I looked at myself like I was insignificant. What can God use me for? You know, I was addicted to drugs and alcohol, all kinds of different things. But the good news is I was faithful in keeping on coming. I was obedient in coming to every service. We had two services on Sunday in the morning and in the evening. We had Friday Bible studies and Wednesday services. I didn't skip a beat. Now, I wasn't coming by faith. I wasn't thinking that God was going to do something to me. I was just coming because I had nowhere else to go. In fact, my first time coming to church, when I left, they said, hey, we want you to come back. And those were words I've rarely heard because usually when I went somewhere, I got kicked out and they told me, don't ever come back. You know? You know? So I was like, wait, you want me to come back? You know? So I was like, all right, I'll come back. So there was a lot of things that I was dealing with. Amen? Anger, aggression, all kinds of things. But praise the Lord, God saved me. But I want to let you know that sometimes I put myself in the position of these lepers. You know, I put myself in the position where when I was first saved in 2010, there was times when I did struggle and there was times when I looked back. You know, I want to let you know these lepers, again, they weren't running into the enemy's camp. I believe they were taking their time. In fact, you know, I even believe that some of them might have been freaking out, like, dude, I can't believe we're doing this. Are we really going to turn ourselves in? They might kill us, you know. But then I kind of picture them looking back and trying to contemplate, do we keep on moving forward to see what they're going to do? But then when they look back, they say, but there's nothing else for me here. You know, my old way of life, what does it offer me? If I go back to my old way, I'm going to surely die. I can't go back to the city. I can't go back to my old way of life because I know where it's going to lead me. And the reason why I'm telling you this is I believe there's a lot of people here that have been coming, maybe 7 months, maybe a year, maybe a couple years, and maybe you guys go through that same season that I went through, or that you feel insignificant or you can't be used. And I want to let you know, keep on moving forward for God. Get to the point of no return. Now, I want to let you guys know this. The point of no return kind of sounds like pretty foul, right? But what I want to share with you is, in if you were a pilot, you had a certain amount of fuel to get to a certain destination. And there was always that slight chance of, if there was a malfunction to a plane, you could always come back and to the ship or to the island that you came from. But once you reached that point of no return, once you got to that point, there was not enough fuel for you to get back where you came from. So you were basically all in. You were all in. So if there was a mission or a task that you had to complete, if you were, you know, in a bomber in World War II and you got to the point of no return, you had to complete your mission. You had to get to the certain destination to be able to fulfill what you were called to do. There was no more looking back at your old ways. There was no more looking back on, well, maybe if I go back, it'll get better. Or maybe if I just quit, I can go back to where I came from. There was no more of that happening. And when I picture these lepers going through, walking through the desert at twilight, in the late hours, how many times they contemplated going back? how many times they looked back and said, you know what, I'm just going to throw in the towel. This is too crazy. I'm not going to be able to do this. They might kill us. But then they're going to get to a point where they no longer can see where they came from. They're going to get to a point where now we've made it this far. We don't even have enough energy to get back, because if we even try to go back, we'll die anyways. So now they have to keep on continuing and keep on moving forward. And just like an Air Force pilot, once they get to that point of no return, they have this energy to fulfill the task that is at hand, to complete the mission that is at hand. So what I'm trying to say to you, church, if you are going through a certain season, if you're going through some type of difficult time, if there is something that's holding you back, I just want to encourage you to keep on going. Let me tell you something. These lepers didn't hear from God. They didn't hear a message, I want you to go to the enemy's camp. They weren't praying. They weren't in their word. They were just desperate to get out of their situation. So I don't know how desperate you are to get out of your season. I don't know how desperate you are to change your circumstance. I don't know what season you're in or what you're going through right now. You could be going through a fire. Maybe you're just going through a dry season. I don't know what it is, but I want to tell you something. These lepers just kept on moving. They kept on going. And as they were going and going and going, God used these lepers and opened up the gates of heaven to chase the enemy away. The Bible says that there was a noise, that there was a loud noise that came down from the sky, a noise of chariots, a noise of horses that scared the enemy away. And I want to let you guys know something. When you have enough faith just to get out of your certain situation, if you have enough energy just to keep on moving forward, God, I don't know what you have for me, but I'm going to keep on coming. God, you know, I don't feel you right now, but I'm going to keep on coming. God, I don't know what you're going to do next week, but I'm going to keep on coming because I'm desperate. I need a healing. I need revival in my life. I need my family to get saved. I need my marriage to come together. I don't know what it is, but I just want to encourage you, keep on coming. If you keep on going and you keep on going, get to the point of no return where what? Where you're all in. Where you're all in. Where you have all your cards put on the table. You know, do you guys watch, what is it called? The poker channel? You go all in, you know? Texas Hold'em. You're at that point. Texas, you go all in. You know, you're all in. You're all in on Jesus. Amen? You're like, God, you know what? I'm tired of the lifestyle that I used to live. I'm tired of being a drug addict. I'm tired of people hating me. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being suicidal. God, I just want something to change in my life. If you have that mentality, God is going to work through you. He's going to bring down the angels that come by to make the enemy flee. And you're going to find true freedom in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to end it with this. The message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to those that are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, what I'm trying to tell you guys this is once you believe in Jesus Christ dying for you, you're going to understand that there is power in salvation, that there is power in forgiveness, that there is power to restore, that there is power to deliver, to set free, that God has the power to change your circumstance. God has the power to remove that storm in your life. He has the power to do all things, and it's not much that he requires. Just like Brother Ricky said, he just asks you to come. He just asks you just to keep on coming. And as you go, God's going to remove the scales. He's going to start opening up your eyes. He's going to start opening up your ears, removing things, and you're going to start catching on. And God's going to start using you. You're going to be even being used without even you noticing it. You know, you're going to be like, oh, wow, I'm doing this for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? So that's my message tonight. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. If anything, get to the point of no return and go all in for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening to this week's message from Praise Chapel Paramount. If you want to stay connected, follow us online with Facebook and Instagram at PC Paramount, or visit our website at praisechapelparamount.com.